The Cultural Council's mission is to nurture, promote, and support a healthy, diverse, and inclusive cultural sector so that the arts and culture are a part of everyday life for everyone. We invite listeners to discover Florida's cultural capital online at palmbeachesculture.com. And welcome back to the Arty Gras podcast. I'm your host, Sarah LaPierre, and I'm here with a very special guest today. She is a beloved ceramic artist and the executive director of the Lighthouse Art Center, Jenny Licata.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for being here.
No, I'm happy to be here.
We have got a lot to talk about. I've got many questions for you, and I'm excited to get into it. But we definitely want to start with some background. Mm-hmm. So you started in psychology.
I did.
You got elbow deep into ceramics. How did that transition happen?
So I went to school for psychology, and I could have went for an art minor, but I didn't because I was grateful enough that I had parents that were paying for my education and I didn't want to spend more time and money. So psychology, I found a job in the entry level position at a children's psych hospital here in Florida or South Florida in Tequesta, which is ironic that now I'm back in Tequesta.
Yeah.
And they had an art therapy program. And so my husband now, we met in college, he was a ceramic artist as well. So he was teaching in ceramics. And when I was transitioning from, do I really want to do this full time? Do I want to be a teacher? Do I want to go into the arts? And so I kind of just landed into, I've always been an artist. So I started making ceramics with him in his mom's garage, to be honest. Nice. And then once I started making like sea urchins were my things that I started with because they're these delicate creatures. I started teaching kids clay down at the armory, and then it kind of just sunk in. You know, the psych hospital had a children like art therapy program. And I think that's really where my heart was. You know, it was the combination of the two. It was where the art meets therapy or art as therapy. And you could just see the difference between the kids of like before and after these classes. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll go back to school for this, you know, maybe I'll do more of this. And then my kind of art career took off, you know, and like Ron and I were able to create this ceramic business. And it was really fun from the start. And then slowly made my way more into kind of like admin roles in the art art world.
Mm-hmm. The path is never like a straight line,
oh my goodness,
right?
No.
It's always all these points, but you've been so ingrained in this area for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you know, doing these classes at the Armory Arts mm-hmm. Center. I think probably a good amount of our audience is familiar with them,
right.
But just a little bit of an overview about Armory. It's, you know, a art center down in downtown West Palm Beach or mm-hmm. like right outside of downtown, I guess. They offer classes. They have professional artists who are resident artists
right.
that teach kind of their styles and so many different genres. They host exhibits there. So yeah, they've been, you know, a lot of the artists in this area have
right.
had some tie
right.
in with them
yeah.
at some point. So that's cool to hear that you were a part of that
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
When did you first in that, I guess, process realize that I'm going to really shift into focus mm-hmm. into art more? Like,
yeah.
was there a clear moment, or was just kind of a slow integration more into your life?
I think it was more of a slow integration. And because I was full time at the Children's Psych Hospital, and then I went per diem.
Okay.
And so I think it was more of like, okay, I'm realizing I like this more. I want to go in this direction. And, you know, social media wasn't really that big. And we kind of started making social media posts and was able to kind of create this interest in what we were doing, showing the videos. You know, I feel yeah. like we were in before where we are now. And now I don't post anything really.
It's a different game now.
The algorithm.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think it was slow. And, you know, I think it was really what I always wanted to do. Mm. If I probably went back as like a kid, my parents were like, don't be a teacher, which is so funny because we come from long history of teachers really? In my family.
Oh my gosh.
They're like, be a doctor. So I thought psychology might have been the route that I needed to go in. And it's just funny. I'm like, I became a teacher. Right. I went into the arts.
Yeah, you're teaching art, which
which I think is just kind of ironic, but it's just like, this is where I need to be.
Yeah, it's the path that, you know, you were, mm-hmm. I think it seems like you were mm-hmm. meant to go down yeah. and is such a beautiful fit for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've had such an impact on the community here that you've been able to share your art, share your knowledge, you know, and expand that right. now in this, you know, this role that you've been in for a while with the mm-hmm. art, the Lighthouse Arts Center now. I want to know how, like, growing up in Florida kind of seeped into your creative process. You know, does the environment here affect the way that you
100% for me? Yeah. I'm very beachy, coastal, like, and my work, I think, describes that. Mm-hmm. When I first started making, they were little sea urchins because we would visit to the Bahamas. And, you know, like if you ever picked a sea urchin up, it smashes before you can get it back home. So I was like, okay, well, you know, ceramics is delicate and it kind of represents that it's this fragile shell, but then it will be a little stronger.
Right,
yeah. It's not going to break. So then sea urchins, starfish were all my like beginning works that I used to do. And then I slowly transitioned into this new process, which was like an image transfer where I would paint on paper and you do everything backwards. So you start with your outlines and then you fill in your color and then you take the paper and you put it on top of like a slab of clay and you push it into the clay and then you peel it away and the image remains. And all of the imagery that I have are whale sharks, sea urchins, conch shells, and then you got gators, you know, like full spectrum butterflies. So very floral, orange slices, lemons. It's
right,
just
right.
Citrus.
I think of some of like the tropical leaves when mm-hmm. I think of your work too, mm-hmm. right? Like
yes.
things, yeah.
Monsteros. Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. And that's cool though. I didn't know that that was the process of how those pieces got mm-hmm. painted or glazed.
And so like, as I've transitioned to an admin role, I'm like, okay, I like right now I finally feel like in a space where I'm like, I can be creative again in ceramics. Yeah. So I'm going back to like the original, just the sea urchins, because it's like we use a pipe or I use a piping bag for it. Yeah. And so it's very meditative where I'm like dotting all the urchin dots. And so it's funny there. Now I'm like, okay, let's go back to the beginning. Let's bring out back the sea urchins.
I love doing that, whether, you know, it's in my work or other artists that I'm following that mm-hmm. I love and appreciate, being able to see somebody just revisit things that they have tried in the past and you kind of see their growth and mm-hmm. progress and what's changed or what's mm-hmm. stayed, you know, true to them or their style. When you come back to something, it is kind of like you can appreciate it mm-hmm. in a different sense. Your process feels different to you mm-hmm. Because you get to maybe sink into it in a different way or come at it from a different angle.
Or you appreciate it because the other process was such a labor of love, you mm-hmm. know, like mixing the slips, mixing the glazes, got to make sure it's all at the right, like ceramics is temperamental, you know.
Yeah. There's a reason I'm a painter.
It's got to be like the right consistency. And so when you don't have as much time, that process, everyone's like, are you going to bring it back? I'm like, not now.
Right.
Not now.
Yeah.
I don't have time.
Yeah. The length of time that it takes to create something and then also hope that it is a like viable, successful final product, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Opening up a kiln is like Christmas morning every day because you're like, Did it survive?
Well, I don't know. Christmas morning, I never opened up gifts that might have been destroyed.
Because it's exciting, I guess. You're right.
Like, there's a good chance that goes the other direction.
There's a good chance maybe you got something you didn't want.
Okay. Fair point. Yeah. That could be. Oh, I love it. All right. Well, I mean, ceramics is definitely exciting. I love to dabble in it on the side. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad to hear that that's, you know, something that you also still have time for your mm-hmm. own creative process. I know you guys are very busy at the Lighthouse Arts Center, which is wonderful. So we definitely want to get into that. Your, you know, kind of
path. This is like your second home now, mm-hmm. I feel like, right?
I live there. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But in a good way. I love it so much. And I think that shows and helps being in this role too.
So let's talk about it like a brief overview. You know, Lighthouse Art Center is in Tequesta. It's a beautiful gallery space, art studios, classes, workshops for all ages. So give us like the overview of what it is.
So it is a community art center that we want to provide art for everyone. And it being, we have drawing, painting, ceramics, fused glass, textiles, and it ranges, like you're saying, from we have workshops that are one-time commitment. We have what we call like wind down Wednesdays and select Fridays, which is great for those who are with busy schedules. And it's like a one-time commitment where you can learn and how to throw on the potter's wheel, take a fused glass class and make a little dish, and everything's provided. And you do get to walk away with a finished product, you know? So it's always like our introductory courses.
Nice.
We say, take this. Sometimes there's wine, which is really nice too.
So it's a place where people can dabble a little bit if they don't have a lot of time mm-hmm. or a lot of, you mm-hmm. know, maybe funds to put towards
correct.
Class.
Right.
Or they can really get into it and take courses that go a little bit further. Mm-hmm. And then I know you've mm-hmm. had members that have been with you for decades, probably, right?
Definitely. Yes. We've got board members that have been in on and off the board for about 20 years, you know, so we're we've got dedicated community members, and we are a not-for-profit. So we do have opportunities for scholarships. So that's like, what's really nice is that if like you said, the funds to take the class for the 8-week session, we can help with that, which is really nice because it's so
incredible.
Important that everyone does have the opportunity to have art in their lives.
So true. So what are the facilities like?
So we are a 3-building campus. And so one of the buildings, which I call kind of like the main building, which is the gallery space and our 2D studios. So this is where you walk in and you have the exhibition that's on display. We've got off, like most of our offices are in that space. And then 3 studios that's open for our painting and drawing and photography classes.
Nice.
We've got another building, which is our 385 studios, which is home to our new glass studio that just opened in October, and our jewelry studio. And then we've got another space that we call our flex space because it's flexible of what mediums can be taught in
there.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And then at our 395 Seabrook location is our 3D studios. So this was once an old EMT station from Jupiter Medical Center that has the art center has been teaching classes out of that space for a while, but because again, not-for-profit life, we were working with what we had. And so we just finished a really big remodel for it. And we've got these brand new glass doors that's like they open up to the community, which is really nice during high season when it's beautiful Florida weather.
Yeah.
But like right now, it's the first time that we've ever had AC in this space, this garage space. And so it's just like another classroom that can be used year round, and brand new kilns. We've got a new shuttle kiln that kind of we're allowed to firework a little bit more frequently.
Oh, nice.
And it's more ergonomic on like more front, like a less labor intensive
sure.
on our staff.
A little bit more user friendly, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a wonderful place. I know every time that I visited, and I need to start, like, I need to come to a workshop and take a class. I've never done glass fusion mm-hmm. in my life. So that might be a cool one.
And that one is always what I say, like when someone's like, I'm not an artist. I'm like, everybody's an artist. You just don't know your medium yet.
There you go.
Is what I always say. But I'm like, start with glass. Or I'm like, do you like puzzles? Because I feel like with the fused glass, you're given a tray of all of these broken pieces and you're putting them together and creating this design. And so it's very puzzle.
See, you're speaking my language. Mm-hmm. I love a puzzle. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's maybe one that I gotta get into. But I've definitely been there for many of the exhibits, and I am always honestly blown away, you know, not just by the caliber of work, but the creativity of the, you know, of the type of exhibits mm-hmm. that you're hosting there. Mm-hmm. I mean, like you said, you have all of these mediums in house, but then the calls and the way that you, you know, I think of the fiber show, the fashion show that happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, different ceramics that I've seen there, of course, 2D and painting. I mean, there's just been some really, really special exhibits. And I know that there's one ongoing now. Mm-hmm. It's open. I think it started in April. It's open through August.
Correct.
1st.
Yes.
And that's the Roadside Reveries.
Yes.
Right.
And it's something that makes you think about like nostalgic when you're on a road trip that you see on the side of the road that catches your eye that you want to stop and go see. And
I'm a sucker for those too. Well, that's the best part of a road trip, right?
And so you walk in and you first see a sculpture that is made out of old beach chair vinyl. And it's like a cross or an X. And it's just this ginormous sculpture that you're like, that's a beach chair, but it's not a beach chair. Yeah. So it kind of makes you stop and question like, oh, this is like a unique item. We've got a Marlin that has over 100,000 Swarovski crystals on it. Gosh. And so that's a big eye catcher as soon as walk in. And, you know, there's a few different, like there's, I think in Florida more so, like growing up here, if you're ever driving down like 95, you see like live gators, baby gators,
of course,
orange citrus. And so there's this one piece that has like an airboat ride that has a gator and it's saying free lunch because you're the lunch. So it's
a good Florida classic exhibit. I love it. So people can come visit that. And then, you know, there's just so many ways that our community can get involved with the center, which I love. So I want to know now what your journey with them has been a little bit like. What's been maybe the, you know, most memorable or biggest jump or shift that's happened since you've been there? You started as an instructor, right?
Mm-hmm, I did.
And now you're in the executive director position, which is amazing. What's that been like?
A wild, wild ride, you know, never expected to be here, but I do think it's so beneficial. One, because I think my psychology background does really play into being a leader. You do learn how to like work with people individually, which is nice. Being the instructor is, you know, what it's like from the bottom up. And so it wasn't just instructor. It was then the education director and then it was the executive director. So, you know, filling those roles, you see it in such a different perspective than just going right to the top. And I think that's really helpful to know, like you can't be an art center without artists. We can't thrive without having all of our instructors and, you know, our community members and knowing what it's like with their experiences in our classes. It's just been wild because I feel like I also took the education director position in COVID timeframes. So like managing in COVID, you know, that's not a normal experience. No. So navigating that, we had one time, which I think is probably the craziest experience, is like the year of the flood. So much water came into the building in 2021 and we had a reception for one of our Lush ceramics exhibitions. And I get like someone's coming to my office and he's like, I really need you. I'm like, give me 1 second. I'll be right there. And he's like, no, I need you now. And there's just water gushing into the building. God. And we're like, what do we do? And so all of the students who were in the classrooms came out and started helping us mop and collect the water. And we still had the reception that night. No one knew. You would never know.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
So it's just kind of learning how to pivot.
Now you have like sandbags in the closet.
Oh my God. Yeah. Every time it rains, but it was just like a freak October rainstorm. Yeah. And like Fort Cuesta, it must've been so dry because there's like imageries of like, cars with water up to their windows in certain areas. So it was really a freak storm, but I think like that might be my craziest experience of having to deal with, of like pivoting of like, okay, what do we do?
Yeah. We have an opening tonight and a flood at the same time.
And we're all dressed in our outfits for the night. So then we're like, okay, well, we'll just thank God our studios have blow dryers. So we're blow drying our hair.
Uniquely equipped to handle that situation.
It was so ironic. Just like seeing us in trash bags running around. Trying to prevent the water.
So aside from the occasional rarity like that, the crazy situations, what does your day-to-day look like in that role?
Yeah, that's not normal. you know, it's a really a lot of networking and, you know, getting to know our members. I do spend a lot of time in my desk, you know, kind of help creating the action plan for the organization. You know, but that's what's so nice about working in an art center is that, yes, there's a lot of admin work, computer work that needs to be done. But as soon as you walk out, you're in an exhibition.
Yeah.
And then you can walk into a classroom and see that they're working on these watercolor paintings and, you know, walk over to the 3D studios and see what sculptures are being created. So it's just really about the community and making those relationships and making sure that people know what we're doing at the Art Center, because we have all these classes, but we also have 16 different outreach programs that we work within the community. And, you know, that's something that has grown since I've been there. And I think it's getting the message out there that what we are doing is, yes, at the Art Center, but it's also outside of our Art Center. And then that's a ripple effect too.
Absolutely. So some of those like community programs, I'm thinking about Art Reach, the Veterans Art, you have Art Club. I mean, like you said, there's 16 of them, mm-hmm. which is incredible. Mm-hmm. How, you know, how do some of those programs, like how do you see people come in and engage with them? And like, what kind of moments, I guess, are you witnessing when people get into those programs?
It's life changing because especially with our veterans, it's a partnership with the VA hospital. And so they do the recruitment for the students. We provide the art instructor and all the supplies. And so at first when they come in, they're very closed off. They don't want to talk. They don't want to share. And because I'm an artist, I had to sub a few classes or I was sitting in on them. Mm. And, you know, from day one to the last day, it's just like they're such a close-knit community. Mm. And, you know, you can see them sharing and opening up and, you know, expressing that, like, I didn't know I was the only one that was feeling like this. And so they create this bond that they have together. And, you know, we've gotten like testimonies that these programs have saved their lives. Mm. And, you know, that's like really rewarding to hear, you know, that it's our art programs and that they're coming together and learning that they can reintegrate themselves into a community. So like often, like with the adults, we try to get them to take other classes. So outside of the one that's really designated for the artist therapy classes, mm-hmm. but to get them to take another class that's with the community members that they've maybe have met while they're in the studio.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a stepping stone, mm-hmm. right? That you have mm-hmm. this opportunity to realize that there's a community and people who share, you know, the same kind of background, mm-hmm. situations, right. story, feelings as you do, and that they're also looking for an outlet for that. Mm-hmm. And that happens to be maybe something creative. And then they can go further with it and, you know, dive into a community more that feels really supportive. I think that's a big thing that I notice when I, you know, visit the center, mm-hmm. is how supportive, welcoming, open it feels, you know, that it's just, you know, you don't have to have any kind of background, experience, mm-hmm. knowledge. There's no, you know, there's no kind of snobbery or any like expectation,
right.
that anybody's welcome, that you can start at any mm-hmm. place,
yeah.
you know, complete novice, intermediate professional, you're all there to connect and, you know, experience something.
Yeah. Some people don't even want to make art. They just want to be there for the the community and like the friendships. And, you know, like what's really, I've seen more so in like our 3D department is that they will go to class and we have this beautiful little tiki hut in the back of the ceramic studios. And then they all have lunch, but they bring like so much food to share with everyone. Yeah. So it's a friendship and a community. So they feed off of each other, which
literally,
literally. Yeah.
That's awesome. So I know that, you know, besides some of those programs we mentioned, summer camp is also a big thing, mm-hmm. and that's starting to ramp up now. And it's now through August, right?
Yes. So it's weekly based off of a theme each week. And the kids rotate from like three different classrooms. So in our gallery space in the 2D studios, they will take over. And so with my background, I've always felt like that it's really necessary that the kids are rotating throughout the day, mm. because being in one classroom all day, especially if they're art kids, I sure. think like that's really important to like see different mediums too. So they'll rotate through three different rooms. One room is like more considered our drawing and painting room. One is our like alternative sculpture, paper mache, cardboard, air dry clay. And then our third room is what we call like our maker space. So we've got 3D printing pens that they can use, ooh, which cool. like with kids, you give them those pens and it is so amazing. I mean, with anything and really for children,
yeah.
there's like what we were talking about. There's no they're not self-conscious about it. They just have an idea and they're going with it. And I love it. I think it's pretty remarkable. So it is Monday through Friday and it is 9 to 2:30 for the week. And there's still spots available.
Is it all ages? Is there a certain age group?
So we do 5 to 11. Okay. And then, you know, what's also like great about camp is that the campers sometimes grow up and they become our interns. So there's always volunteer opportunities for the older students who are still interested in being part of camp, but like too old for camp.
Yeah.
So we've got interns, and then we've had stories where they've been campers, they've been interns, and then they've been instructors.
That's awesome. Uh-huh.
So it's full circle. They're like, I used to come to camp here.
So special. You know, when you have something like that, that those children have grown up in it, recognize the value of it, and then are, you know, wanting to be a part of that continuation. That's such a beautiful thing, isn't it? Well,
and we've been around for 60 years, the Lighthouse Arts Center. So many people who walk in also say, like, I used to come to camp here. I used to come to camp here. I'm like, come back. Keep taking classes.
Right? Yeah. Plenty of adult workshops, too. You can have your own version of camp.
Yes.
So we talked a little bit about, you know, some of the things that people can get into short term. I know I saw something that Studio Sampler is one of them, kind of. I think that's a really fun concept where I think it's a four part. Is that right? And people can come in. It's every Saturday. For four Saturdays, right? And they can come in, they get to experience one studio. So maybe they start with the glass and the next ceramics, fiber and painting. Is that right?
I think it was stacking rings, jewelry.
Stacking rings, that's right.
Yes.
So I just, you know, I love that idea again that, you know, come in, try some different mediums, you know, experience some different techniques and tools, learn from these artists, and it's not a huge heavy commitment. It's just like a literally a nice little sampling of these different genres.
And because our three buildings aren't connected, we often see sometimes people just come and go from one building. But we, like the Studio Sampler was try to get an idea of like, okay, sign up for all four of these classes and then it will get you in all of the spaces.
Get you connected with more of the space. Yeah, that's brilliant. I love it. I want to talk about another, well, I mean, there's many events that I want to talk about. I told you this. There's two in particular that jump out to me. One that I'm just learning more about, which I'm very excited to learn more. And I want to share, even though it happens in January. So anybody watching this episode right as soon as it comes out is going to have to wait and the excitement is going to have to hold till then. But it's called DART. And you're going to have to give me an overview of that. But
DART for Art is our annual fundraiser. And so throughout the year, we're constantly collecting artwork. And so if anybody in the community member has artwork that they want to donate to the Art Center, we will be happy to take it. We just ask that it's a value of $300 or above, but you could be a collector. So if you're not the artist, we will still take the artwork as well. And so why we are collecting this is because of DART, the event, and it's your typical gala where you have food, dinner, drinks, and we will wine and dine in the beginning half of the day or the evening. And at the end, we will assign you all a group. So inside your welcome bag, you'll see a little sticker that says, last year we had a theme of jungle allure. So inside your bag, you are the tigers. And so you're like, okay, I'm a tiger, but I don't know when I get to go. And so at the end of the evening, I will line you guys up in groups of about 20 to 30 people. We have another room that is designated to all of the artwork that was donated. So you get to go home with a unique piece of artwork for DART. And so at that end of the evening, this is like when everyone gets all excited. Sure. You get people standing up from their tables watching to see what's going on. And I put a blue line on the floor so I make sure no one's cheating. I make them
start behind the line.
I will have like on the screen, we'll show pop up and say tigers. So everybody who has a tiger sticker will come and line up at the line. And I make everyone show me their sticker.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you have this sticker, you need to go and find your favorite piece of artwork. So I'll say on your mark, get set, DART. And everyone sprints into this room to find their favorite piece and put their label on the exhibition label.
And so once Once it's labeled, that's then what they taken. Get to take home.
Yeah, so it will have your name on it and it will have your group name on it.
I mean, how fun is mm-hmm. that? I don't know who came up with this concept, but it is so cool and unique.
It's unique because it's a fundraiser. It's yes. a gala. Yes. But then it brings like the art perspective back into it. It gets the community involved because so many artists are so excited to know that they're part of the mission. You know, yeah. maybe they can't give financially, but they can give a piece of artwork, and then it gets the exposure that it's on display and going home with. We have like about 230 guests typically each year. And it is, from what I hear from other not-for-profit leaders and event attendees, they're like, this is my favorite event throughout the year because it's just got that unique aspect. And because the artwork is being donated, some pieces can be valued over like $3,000, mm-hmm. you know? So you never really know what we're going to have yeah. in our collection for that year.
Okay. So do people, is there any kind of preview ahead of time where people know where they get to see all of the art, or maybe they see a little bit of it, they get teasers of it, but you really kind of...
You
don't know until you actually get there.
We will have a program that's okay. digital prior okay. to the event, but okay. you're seeing it in a 2-inch square. So you don't really know the size. I mean, okay. we do have the measurements, but yeah. then before the event, so you can come, it's cocktail hour. And when you come for cocktail hour, you can walk through and preview the artwork.
Preview. Okay.
So then
okay.
with the program, you can kind of mark your location. Sure. Okay. Like aisle B is where yeah. my number one is. And we always say, pick your like top three.
Sure.
Because you never know what group you're going to be in and you never know which yeah, one's going to be
left.
If
somebody runs faster than you.
Or that too. Yeah. And then it's like, so, but what I've learned is your favorite piece mm. is not someone else's favorite piece. Mm, and it's so typically there when it's your turn. Like so many times I hear, yeah. I got my favorite piece and they were in the last group.
Yeah.
And like for us staff, we get to dart at the very end.
Oh, wow.
And so my favorite pieces have always been there. So like everyone gets to dart. It's just ironic how it works that way.
I love that. That mm-hmm. is such a cool event. So I know that's a long ways off, but we have a lot to look forward to with that. So I hope that, you know, there's even more excitement for it mm-hmm. as it comes in January 2026. And if I'm, you know, I'm going to say this, that people might be able to find a Sarah LaPierre this year if they choose to participate
so
in
exciting.
DART. Because I just, I love this concept so much. One of the other ones I want to talk about is just briefly we can touch on is mm-hmm. the Plein Air Festival. Mm-hmm. So that happens in March
every
believe.
Year. Yes.
And that's been going on for a long time.
We just celebrated the 12th annual Plein Air Festival.
And I always love to see, you know, I've never participated myself. Mm-hmm. I'm not a plein air painter. Mm-hmm. I've done a little bit of dabbling like
quick
behind
draw.
The scenes.
It's just the one day before. You yeah. should just do the Sunday kickoff. It's 2 hours.
So tell us about the overall, like okay. again, a little brief overview of
so
that.
So it is a week long event, mm-hmm. but how it works is that it's a jury event for the competition artists.
Nice.
And so during the summertime, we'll open up the in June we'll open up the call to artists okay. and we do get like we get over 100 artists from all over the world. The past 2 years we've had someone come from the UK to participate.
So cool.
And so we kick the event off at a local organization. This last year we were actually at the Lighthouse.
Were you?
Okay. So the Lighthouse was at the Lighthouse.
Nice.
Good play on words. And so it's a quick draw and we'll blow an air horn. Everybody who participates, this can be community members and the competition artists.
Okay.
And so we do have two different categories, an amateur and a professional. So that way the judging is fair. And so we'll blow the air horn at 10 a.m. and then they have 2 hours to paint. And so come 12 p.m., they have 30 minutes to frame everything and bring it to the judging location. So then it will be judged and awards and prizes will be given out. And then the paintings are for sale.
Nice.
And so that's really fun because you do see so much talent in our community
that comes and
participates in it. And the Lighthouse this year was such a great space for it because you think everybody would want to paint the Lighthouse. That's not the case. You know, they'll go and find like the dock with the pelicans
yeah.
sitting on it.
Right. Well, that property's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Or like the tree that's out. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of that huge, I know it's
banyan
not technically.
Tree.
Yeah,
it's a ficus. Right.
Yeah. But it's gorgeous. So there's many little, you know, potential vignettes there that could happen. So that's great. And I love to know that the call starts in June. Yes. So if people are interested in potentially applying to that, that's coming up.
And then the deadline for the competition for that part is August.
Okay.
And so that is just to be the artist that can participate all week long. So it doesn't end on that Saturday. It keeps, or that Sunday, it goes all the way to Saturday. And so throughout the week, the competition artists are painting all around Palm Beach County and Martin County. So if you see an artist painting on an easel, on the beach, on the piers, on the side of the road, they're most likely one of our plein air painters. And so plein air means painting outdoors, and it is fresh, wet painting. So they'll paint, frame it, bring it into the gallery and hang it, which is so rare, as you know. You know, want it to be dry before it goes into a gallery. So hanging is even, you know, a little bit of an obstacle because you don't want to put your arm in finger in.
Hold your breath.
So that's Monday through Friday. We've got free demos that are happening throughout the week. So if you wanted to learn how to paint with pastels, we've got an artist. Typically, we do a variety of the mediums, a watercolor, oil, acrylic, or pastels. So you can learn those techniques. But then the event. So Friday night is always the biggest event, which is the collector's party. And that is when I get a little more worried because I'm like, okay, make sure your purses are not rubbing into the paintings because it is floor to ceiling paintings because some of them are just so fast and can crank
out multiple pieces.
Oh my goodness, so many pieces. We have one artist that he'll be like, I don't have enough room. So we'll like put them on the floor because, you know, it's how they make their living. They do a plein air circuit. So we're trying to like accommodate as much space as we can. But when they sell, they go home with them right away. So then that makes room for the artwork too. It's not like your typical exhibition where you buy something and it has to stay.
It's going to stay on exhibit for, Oh, I love the, I love all these processes.
And what's really unique about it is that like they're seeing Florida from a different lens where we take for granted, you know, the drive to commute to work and there's this beautiful bougainvillea. They'll stop and paint it, you know? So I think it's nice to see what, how they perceive Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Through the artist's eyes. Mm-hmm. All right. So, I mean, there's just so much exciting things happening at Lighthouse Art Center. I always love to learn more about it. But I did want to ask you more about your artwork. Mm-hmm. I know that you mentioned earlier that you've kind of getting into a space where you can start returning to more of your process and you're coming back to kind of some of the classics, right? But how did It's Claw and Sea, right?
Yeah, the Claw and the Sea.
The Claw and the Sea. Where did that come from?
So Ron always had the nickname, the Claw, from high school or college, I think it was. But his name is Ron Shaw.
Okay.
So Ron Shaw, Ron Claw is really now who he is. And I've been this beachy, bubbly person. So the sea, kind of like we were spitballing ideas of like, what would the Instagram handle? What would the business name be? Yeah. And I think I threw out a few different things. And I think the Claw and the Sea just kind of stuck the best because it's true to who we are.
Definitely. I always wanted to think when your pieces like come to life, right? Mm-hmm. There, you're just creating this little ecosystem and environment whenever I see your work, whether it's the, I'm going to point to them on the canvas, whether a camera can see or not, the sea urchins, the starfish, you know, these elements that just feel so Florida coastal. Mm-hmm. Do you think that you will kind of continue in that same direction for a while? Is there like any sort of vision around your work expanding in a different way or changing or what your kind of process might evolve into?
I already have started thinking about changes and like, what can I do with the time that I have now to put in to be creative? And I got really into Shibori indigo dyeing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so it's just blues and whites typically. And so I'm like, how do you make blue? And like blue and white is also very sought after colors in South Florida. So again, it's like a win-win. But, you know, trying to think of patterns of shibori and ceramics. So it's new that I'm doing more of like just basic surfaces and glazing, you know, dipping it in white first and then brushing on blue. And again, it's that meditative like process where it's not super hard. You're just making a bunch of dashes. Right. And so that's something that I'm.
And part experimental too, right? Because you have to then try these new techniques to translate that shibori dye into a ceramic glaze, which is not necessarily the most forgiving medium.
Right. And well, it's great about, like, I always call it the ugly duckling phase too. Yep,
I know that phase.
Where you, like, glazing is so rigid. It's like when it's sloppy, it's messy, but then you stick it into the kiln and it flattens and smooths and blends. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's, that's why it's Christmas. Yeah.
I understand that. So you started this process in a collaboration, right? Mm-hmm. You started in his mom's garage. Right. How did that kind of, I guess, how did that go? And, you know, what was your process like together? How were you starting pieces? Was somebody starting them? Was somebody finishing them? Was like, what does the collaboration between two ceramic artists look like?
Well, for I you? Think we went separate ways first, you know, so Ron is more known for what he calls his spornets. Mm-hmm. So they're big bowls that carved out that look like mushroom mycelium that hangs, it typically hangs upside down. Mm-hmm. And so that was his direction. I was going sea urchins, but then this image transfer process, I'm not a wheel thrower. I'm a hand builder. I get more success with a hand building and it's more rewarding for me. Yeah. So he would wheel throw a lot of the things that we would collaborate on. And so I would give him the idea of, like, this is the shape that I'm looking for. I need a flat surface also to work on. So ceramics, and especially if you're wheel throwing, you see some more pieces that are, like, rounded. Sure. And so it's always fun to collaborate, you know, especially when it's your significant other.
Yeah, of course.
And I think those have been some of my favorite pieces that we make. And, like, when I see people who have them, I'm like, hold on to those. Those are treasures, because I don't know when we'll start doing those again, you know? Right. Yeah. And I think that, like, it's a good process to have someone that can help and support, you know. He doesn't love glazing, you know, and I like glazing. Yeah. So we're a good team.
Yeah, absolutely. And you get to, you know, play off each other's creative energy, and that maybe, you know, there's some days as an artist where you're just like, oh, I don't have it today. Mm-hmm. But if you have a collaborator, it might be their day.
Yeah,
they have the energy, or kind of the, you know, the spirit to, like, be like, well, let's try something different. Mm-hmm. Let's shift. Let's, you know, it's not just you as a solo artist, because as we know, a lot of being an artist is potentially isolating, right? Like, you're so often spending hours potentially in a studio alone.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's something special to find a person that's, you know, obviously a life partner, romantic partner, but also a creative partner that you can do that kind of work with is really cool. Mm-hmm. So I love to hear that. I have more questions about Lighthouse Arts Center too, but we're going to take just a quick little break. We are going to hear a brief word from our sponsors, the Cultural Council for Palm Beach County. So check them out.
Those dinner reservations and tea times will have to wait, because there's an art-filled paradise beyond these beaches. A mecca of masterpieces. Spectacular sights by day and night. A cultural capital that's calling your name. See so much more than you came for in the Palm Beaches.
So we're talking with Dr. Lori Rothman with TGH's Concierge Health. Doc, everybody's doing this now. Why is it so popular?
I think concierge medicine is popular now because there are fewer primary care doctors and there's an absolute shortage of primary care physicians. Concierge medicine is a membership practice where your doctor takes a limited number of patients, and this way you have more access to care and you can get seen when you need to.
So what are the benefits?
I think the greatest benefit is the personal relationship that you develop with your physician. Your doctor has time to spend with you, and when you need to be seen, your doctor's available. In addition, you'll have longer extended appointment times, and you'll have a 24/7 access. If you don't feel well on a Saturday night, you can call me.
And what should I look for if I'm looking for a new concierge physician?
I think same things you'd want to look for in any doctor. What are their credentials? Where did they go to school? Where did they do their training? And then how many years of experience do they have? Specifically for concierge medicine, you want to know how large is their patient panel, because you really want to know that they're going to be able to provide the service that they're offering.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Doc. Thanks for being here. And that was your Medical Minute.
I'm going to talk a little bit more about community impact.
Okay.
And, you know, how you've seen that kind of growth through the Lighthouse Art Center. I heard somebody, you know, I don't know if it was maybe in a video that I saw recently, I think, actually that was, I think, partly produced, I'm not going to say is the right word,
by maybe Ashley.
By Ashley, yes. Walters. Yeah. And it was a beautiful video, you know, part interview showing the center, and somebody mentioned just the transformative power of art and, you know, how it impacts community in big and little ways. How is some of that unfolded right in front of you at the Art Center?
I think like the two really big examples that come to me is we have a program that we call Art Club, which is partnership with Center for Child Counseling. And they bring students to the organization for Art Club. And so they are a bunch of children that have similar issues happening in their life, whether if it's a divorce, like a family divorce. And so the kids are there together to kind of heal, create, and express themselves. And, you know, teens, we've all been teens. It's a rough age. It's
rough
hard.
It's
hormones are raging. And they were so quiet, didn't want to talk with each other. And, you know, they became best friends, sharing phone numbers by like the end of the session. We were like begging not to have the class end because they were having so much fun together. And so it's just like really knowing how important it is to have a safe space to do artwork. And then we just, one veteran that comes to mind, like he was with us quite a bit. He's recently passed. And just to know that, I just like, I see it in my mind when I hear it. He's leaving class one day and he's like, this place has saved my life, you know, and like knowing that at an older age that it can still like something can change you. And he passed shortly after saying that. And it just like brings me peace to know that he was struggling and he found his peace at the end right before.
Yeah.
So
it's incredible that there, you know, these opportunities for people to, like you said, at any age, whether it's the teens or somebody in advanced years, to find some piece of community that reignites, that gives them a different vantage point on humanity at large or their own humanity and how they're connected and how they're a valuable, you know, member of the community and that they're, you know, thought about and considered and welcomed is just, it's
and incredible. That's why for us, like fundraising is so important is so that we can continue that. And, you know, at the end, like some days can be like really deep in the weeds, but then you hear these stories and you're like, this is why we do it. Yeah. This is why it's important.
This is why you, you know, have all the networking events that you can possibly go to and spread the word. And, you know, that's part of the reason that I want to be here having these conversations. One, I love to talk with my fellow art community members, but you know, if there's any hope, of course, of advancing that knowledge that this exists, there's a place, there's, you know, beautiful offerings that people can get involved in. And on the other side of that, if, you know, you're not somebody who wants, needs, has the time to take a class, but you want to support that this thing exists and that is immensely valuable to the community, that you have a place where you can say, I love that mission. I'm going to give them my time, my funds, my attention, whatever it is. So yeah, I'm so glad that you've been, you've just been coming on and talking about all these wonderful things.
We're a hidden gem that's trying not to be so hidden anymore.
We don't want to be hidden. I'm tired of the word hidden gem.
Right.
How, you know, we talked about this, you keep things so inclusive there from all these different offerings of age ranges, adults, kids, types of workshops, you know, beginner friendly. Is there anything that's coming up that you might be excited about that's a new add-in? I know you said you kind of expanded with the ceramics in a way, and you're, you know, you're always kind of testing out these new things like the sampler, the, I think it's the Wednesday, you know,
the Wine and Wednesdays.
Yeah, Wine and Wednesdays.
You know, our exhibitions always give me excitement too, because it's like, you may not be an artist, but you can appreciate art. So the rotating exhibitions that we have. And so upcoming for fall, even we've got this talented artist. He makes all of his portraits. His name's Tommy Mitchell, and he does ballpoint pen portraits.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, just the shading that he does of these, like your skin color hues, and it's phenomenal. So, you know, knowing that in after our August exhibition ends, then we've got something that will start in September. So those excitements, and along with that show is a call to artists for a jewelry exhibition. So excited to see. Jewelry is always a big hit for the organization because everyone can has an excuse to buy an extra pair of earrings.
Right. Yeah, I understand that completely. You know, we've touched on so many things, and I don't want to, as much as I would continue to talk with you for hours, I don't want to keep you in the studio all day. But I do always ask this question of our guests, which is if you, we're going to exclude the lighthouse from this one since we've talked a lot about it. But if there was one event, place, you know, arts related thing that you would want anybody visiting Palm Beach County or living in Palm Beach County to experience, what would that be?
Art that's not the lighthouse.
I know, it's a tough one now.
That is a tough one.
And we could expand that to, you know, I like to expand that to Wild Florida because I think it's a part of our, you know, it's a deep part of our culture and what impacts our arts culture and visitors and you know, people live here for that too.
Right. So. I would even say like the mural art that has popped up so much around Palm Beach County, more so probably downtown. I think that's pretty amazing that that wasn't a thing when we were growing up.
No, absolutely.
You know, so I think that's just, and that's a free thing that you can do to travel around Palm Beach County, downtown West Palm Beach. And there's a mural almost on every corner these days, which is pretty amazing.
I mean, it's a great answer. It's truly, there are some incredibly impressive you know, murals, I mean, from world-renowned artists in West Palm Beach now. So we really do have some amazing spots. So like you said, people can
drive by,
visit for free. There's, there's, you could take a little kind of walking tour. You can make your own walking tour. There's a lot of pieces of public art, you know, Palm Beach County and certainly downtown West Palm has a lot of those now. Yeah, it's a great answer. I love that. So what advice would you give someone who is creatively stuck?
Keep going. Maybe experiment. Take another class instead, you know, because I do find a lot of times where you want to do something and you're in a bad mood and or you're stuck. Try something else. It will help, I think, a lot because I do jewelry now so often because it's not ceramics where it needs to be babysat. I can do a project, I can walk away, but there's so many things that intertwine between ceramics and jewelry that kind of come together. I'm like, ooh, I can make this cute little pendant out of clay or, you know, it just it sparks new and fresh ideas.
Yeah. With that, with the jewelry and the ceramics, is there anything unexpected that inspires your artwork?
I think I'm pretty, who I am, I think is in my ceramics and in my artwork. It's really beachy.
It's ingrained.
Like, it's ingrained. It's the life. Yeah. You know, I think there's a lot of other sides of me that I don't always put into. I mean, I do love gardening. So like that's, or like plants. I have some, like if you walk into my office, it is filled with plants and fish tanks. I really feel like those two kind of merge into my work.
Do they ever literally merge together? Because I know some people have aquaponic
inside my tank. Yes. And so I feel like that, I guess if that's like a hobby that of mine that does come into my work, that's one of it. But other than that, I think there's so many other hobbies. I'm like, how would I put that into?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. How would you translate that into?
Like I'm big into running these days. And it's like, you do a little running then. But more they're just like scenes from like where I've traveled to. Mm. So I like to keep that in mind of like, we did a residency in Colorado where we had this beautiful place that we got to stay in downtown Breckenridge.
Oh, beautiful.
So you could see the mountains in the background. Yeah. But then I like did motifs of the mountains or their state flower versus Florida state flower.
Okay. Very cool. Mm-hmm. So before I let you leave, I have a couple, just two more questions, okay. Really. One, you know, you've been in this area for so long. You've mm-hmm. been in, with the Lighthouse Arts Center for so long. Do you have, you know, a vision, a big goal, anything that you could share that you're, you know, kind of working towards over the next maybe 5 years at the center?
So our goal, big goals, I feel like we just tackled those with this construction projects.
Yeah. Right.
And so with that being said, we've made more space. Now we need to, the goals are to bring people in, get the word out there about the art center. You know, we've got these community classes and they're offered throughout the week. So we want to get that word out there, fill those spaces, and then provide more for the outreach programs. Currently what we're doing is we're limited with funds. So if we receive more, then we can offer more in those outreach programs as well.
Is there ever I don't know what you would call it, but, you know, applications, call to artists, anything like that for new mediums, new instructors?
Always.
How do those things come up? You know, if you had somebody who was maybe could fill that role, what does that look like? What does that process
look
like?
So on our website, we have work with us or teach with us. Okay. There's just a button that you could select and then it will get you in contact with what department that you're interested in. We're always looking for new instructors. So whether it being ceramics, you know, if it fits our facility,
sure,
like blowing glass, unfortunately we can't do, but you know, we are always looking for new instructors because we do have so much space. Mm-hmm. And as a community artist and an art center, it's based off enrollment too. So we can only offer as much as one person's willing to teach, and sure, then also offer teaching opportunities for those who are coming in. So you need both parties to participate.
To get involved.
Yes.
Well, there are so many ways for people to get involved. And I love that I learned a lot about them today. So thank you again for coming on here, sharing your story, sharing about the center. There's many, many things that I'm excited about upcoming for you guys. So you'll definitely be seeing more of me there.
Good.
In the meantime, for people to get connected, what are some of the best ways? You know, tell us the website, the social media for them and for, you know, the Claw in the Sea. Any of that, like, let us know how to get connected.
So for the Art Center, the website is lighthousearts.org. And then our Instagram handle is Lighthouse Art Center. And the same for Facebook. It's Facebook.com/Lighthouse Art Center. For my personal one, it's the Claw in the Sea business personal. They've kind of hybrid.
They've merged now.
Yeah. So it's just the Claw in the Sea.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, wonderful. Thank you again for coming on
here.
I appreciate it so much. I hope that many of you listeners and viewers choose to go visit, whether it's your first time or your return visiting. There's so much to see and do at the Lighthouse Art Center. And of course, thank you for tuning in, for checking this out. If you want to get connected, we will make sure the links are in the description below so you can find out more. And as always, a huge thank you to our sponsor, the Cultural Council for Palm Beach County. I will see you next time on the Artie Girl Podcast.